This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. If you've spent any time outside at dusk, you know the mosquitoes are out in force. The nuisance insects around here have the potential to be destructive to your health. West Nile virus has now been detected in Oakland County. Mosquitoes elsewhere are also having an impact in Washtenaw County. So far, there are two confirmed cases of Zika virus in Washtenaw County alone. How safe are we? Well, my guest today is Emily Toth-Martin, and Emily is an assistant professor of epidemiology in the University of Michigan's School of Public Health. Emily, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mentioned two mosquito-borne illnesses is detected this summer. What others do we have to be aware of? Anything?
Well, I think you hit the major ones. West Nile virus is the major concern here in Michigan. Outside of Michigan, there's Zika virus, and then the same mosquito that carries Zika virus also carries dengue and chikungunya, which are some viruses a bit similar to Zika that we've known about for a little bit longer.
Well, let's start with Zika then. It has caused global concern, but as of now, the mosquitoes carrying that virus can't get here. They haven't reached Michigan. So the two people in Washtenaw County and four in total in Michigan that have contracted Zika virus have done so while traveling to a tropical climate. But there is a danger because once it's here, it is transmittable, isn't it?
It's true. Zika virus gets transmitted from person to person via a mosquito. So a mosquito has to bite one infected person, and then the mosquito can then go and infect another person. And the mosquito that does that is the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which is only seen in the southern areas of the U.S. And in the U.S. territories.
So now, that's less of a concern to this point. But it is also a sexually transmittable disease, is it not, or affliction?
It is. It's transmittable. We've seen it in cases of men transmitting to women after they get infected while traveling in Zika virus endemic areas. This is primarily a concern for pregnant women when their partners are traveling or when pregnant women are traveling.
There are a lot of folks in Washtenaw County and throughout the state that do have that passion for travel. Additionally, there are Michigan athletes getting prepared to participate in the Summer Olympics in Brazil, which seems to be close to ground zero for Zika virus. What advice do you have to offer to avoid contraction while traveling to these climates?
Well, I think that using protection, both protection against sexual transmission, but then using protection when you're outside. Now, in Michigan, we're used to mosquitoes being out in the evening and protecting ourselves from bites then. But these mosquitoes, the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, is a daytime biter. So you want to protect yourself all the time using mosquito repellent or long sleeves or long pants if possible. Try to stay into screened areas. Now, even if you do get bit, though, most people don't show symptoms at all or show very mild symptoms for Zika virus. So that's why the focus really is on recommending that pregnant women don't travel to these areas.
Is there an easy or simple test if we have experienced any kind of symptoms whatsoever or know that we've been in one of those climates or exposed to someone who has?
Well, I think if you've been in one of those climates and you are experiencing symptoms, there are tests that are being done by the CDC and by state health departments that your doctor can link you up with. And those tests are continually being improved.
What symptoms should we be on the lookout for?
I think most people are looking for a rash or a fever and a rash shortly after having a mosquito bite.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking mosquito-borne illnesses with Emily Toth-Martin. Emily is an assistant professor of epidemiology in the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Now, we've had some really bad years of West Nile virus here in Michigan, although we've seen fewer cases over the past few years. Still, if contracted, it can become fatal. And Emily, there are certain segments of the population more at risk for the severe symptoms of West Nile as well as Zika, right?
That's true, and I think that you know, similar to Zika, though, it is important to remember that the majority of people won't show any symptoms if they get West Nile virus, but there are a handful of people that can get meningitis or encephalitis and need to be careful for that.
We do need to be aware. And the latest figures I have is that West Nile has been detected in mosquitoes in Oakland County this year, but so far no human cases. Having said that, the worst part of mosquito season and the most dangerous time of summer still lay ahead.
That's true. And we often don't know about the numbers of human cases until the end of the season when all the testing is complete. So the way we monitor West Nile virus in Michigan is by monitoring mosquito pools and looking to see if the West Nile virus is in mosquitoes in the area. And we have seen it already. It's a bit early, But it's kind of too soon to tell what that means for the numbers of human cases that we'll have.
So there's no accurate way to project or do modeling that might indicate how prevalent West Nile may become this year?
There's no surefire way to know. I know that, you know, it is a hot and dry summer, and mosquitoes like hot and dry. And it is sort of a similar climate pattern to 2012, which was a really big year. So I think people are on the alert.
Is DEET our best friend in fending off mosquito bites and potential infection of West Nile?
It is. You have to keep using mosquito repellent when you're out. And in Michigan, that means when you're out in the evening. And keeping screens and on your windows and your doors. And the other thing to do is to make sure you don't have standing water on your property. When you're outside, look for any sort of residual water that may be collecting, like on top of children's toys or unused flower pots, and dump that out.
But DEET itself, that's a pretty potent chemical. It can't be good to slather that on day after day, especially for infants, seniors, or pregnant women. What do we do absent DEET?
Well, you know, the CDC has sort of recommended it as our best option that we have currently. Without that, you can use just lightweight clothing covering your arms and legs. I personally have some sort of lightweight baggy yoga pants and a light shirt, long sleeve shirt that I wear in the evenings that keep me cool but still discourage mosquitoes from biting.
Once again, you're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Emily Toth-Martin. She's an assistant professor of epidemiology at the U of M. It's mosquito season, and that's been the focus of Issues of the Environment this week. Now, Emily, in looking at the years ahead, is climate change going to impact the kinds of mosquito-borne illnesses we see here in Michigan?
Well, you know, mosquitoes do like hot and dry, like I mentioned. And so I think as more areas become hot and dry, it's going to kind of expand the footprint for where certain types of mosquitoes like to travel. And I think what's happening in Brazil is a really good example of this. Zika virus came into the country while they were having record high temperatures and a record low rainfall. And that created the right climate for the mosquitoes that were carrying the virus to reproduce it at a pretty high level.
Just in casual conversation, someone mentioned to me that there are species of mosquitoes now in Michigan that once were only found in the southwest United States. I don't have empirical evidence of that, but maybe you do. Is that true?
Well, I know that the Aedes albopictus, which is sort of it's related to the Aedes aegypti that carries Zika. That used to be more in the southern U.S., and now it's up to right around it's been found up near the Indiana, Ohio, Illinois border, so right on the southern edge of Michigan.
Because perhaps the climate will now support it.
And then that's one of the theories, that it's moving because the climate is more amenable here than it used to be.
Well, with that in mind, are insect-borne illnesses a part of the discussion when it comes to climate change adaptation?
Absolutely. Both making the habitat more amenable to mosquitoes in more areas, but also allowing for viruses that we don't know about to emerge and travel in ways that we haven't expected so far.
As our time runs short, do you have any last words of advice for those among us who are summer-loving outdoor types?
I think still enjoy the summer, but keep your mosquito repellent handy, and make sure you get that standing water off of your yard.
Emily, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That is Emily Toth-Martin, an assistant professor of epidemiology at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. This weekly series is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw Environmental Health Division and is heard only on 89.1 WEMU.